Welcome to the Anderson Business Advisors Podcast, the nationally recognized preferred provider for asset protection and tax planning in the nation. This show is for real estate investors looking to protect their assets, save on taxes, and build their wealth with Clint Coons. Clint is an attorney, author, avid real estate investor, and featured instructor at Anderson's tax and asset protection events held throughout the country. Enjoy the show.
Welcome, everyone. Hi, it's Clint Coons here with Anderson Business Advisors, and this is another episode of the Anderson Podcast. I'm your host, Clint Coons, and today we have a very special guest that is going to be talking about a form of real estate investing some of you probably never heard of. In fact, I had never heard of this type of real estate investing before, and this particular individual has done extremely well for himself in one of the probably the toughest markets in the country, I would say, is in San Diego. I mean, everyone knows how expensive it can be down there. I've never even thought of investing down there. Just trying to get into that market with a toehold is way above my comfort zone. But this young individual, and I say young because, you know, hell, now I'm old. So anyone that's at least 10 years younger than me is young, is out there doing a phenomenal job in the San Diego market with some strategies that he's going to be sharing with you, how to go direct to the sellers, find the motivated sellers, cut out the middleman, and make great returns on your investing. Because as we know, in real estate investing, it's about finding the deals. You see so many people out there that invest in real estate and they tell you, oh, I've got a 7 cap or I got an 8 cap. And how great is that? Or here up here in Washington State, I've seen investors that try to convince me a 4 cap is a great investment. Well, it could be if that's all you know. But I'll tell you what, when you have a problem collecting rent, that 4 cap goes to a negative cap, and we'll see where you're at then. So, of course, we know in real estate, it's all about the numbers. And the more better the numbers you can find, the more money you're going to make. And that's why this special guest that I'm bringing on here in just a moment has designed a system around that. So he's got a really interesting story to share with you. And it's my pleasure to invite on Chase Maher. How you doing, Chase?
I'm doing good, Clint. Thanks for having me on, man. It's a pleasure. And I'm looking forward to chatting with you, man, and sharing some off-market lead generation strategies, sharing how I got into the game, and just having some fun, man.
Yeah, I know. It's funny. We were chatting right before we got on. You're telling me, I mean, you have a killer podcast yourself. You're in the top 200 in the entrepreneur category in the country with your podcast. I mean, you've done so much. There's so much to unpack with your life and where you're at right now. You're what? You're 30 years old?
Yep, 30 years old.
Okay, so let's give the audience some aspect of you, how you got started in real estate.
Yeah, man. So I grew up in an entrepreneurial family. My mother and father owned a couple of used car dealerships. And I just sort of kind of grew up through the ranks from like 12 years old, 16 years old, 20 years old. And then around 24 years old, I had already invested in a couple properties around the college, but I wasn't thinking about real estate. My dad sat me down and said, look, son, I want to retire. You're the manager at the dealership now. I can either sell the dealership and I can go retire in Costa Rica, or I can sort of hand it over to you. And I told him, I want to move to San Diego. I don't want to be in the car business anymore. And I want to travel. I want to surf. I still wasn't fully thinking about real estate, but I kind of gave up that, you know, multi-million dollar opportunity. Went to San Diego, kind of traveled for a couple of years, burned through a bunch of money, and realized that I needed to get something going. So that's when I became a real estate agent. I specialized in finding deals for investors. I quickly realized the investors were making more money than I was as the agent. So I said, why don't I just be the investor? And so, you know, fast forward to now, I'm fixing, flipping, and wholesaling in San Diego, Tucson, Arizona, and in my hometown, Virginia Beach, Virginia. And now really starting to focus on putting together the rental portfolio as well.
Wow. I mean, that's a lot to do. I mean, in a, what, 12 years? That's what you've done?
Yeah, yeah. And really, really focused full-time on the investing side since about 2018. But from 2016 to 2018, I was an agent. And then kind of 2018, sort of phasing out of being an agent and being the investor. And then you know, all of the last couple of years, fix and flipping, wholesaling, and just accumulating some properties.
So your father wasn't a real estate investor, correct?
Nope. He was. Well, technically you could say he was because he owned the dealership. He was a commercial investor. He owned the property, the dealership, and sold that with the business. So technically, yes. But, you know, he's owned a few properties, but he never looked at them as investments. They were more business. So and he runs a business in Costa Rica and he owns the property there, ran the dealership, owned the property there. had his single family and had one rental, but not like something like you or I today.
So what made you choose real estate over cars? Because, I mean, car salesmen, they can make a ton of money. They do extremely well. But, it wasn't in your genes. You didn't grow up with it. I mean, I grew up in a real estate investor family. My father had me out there working on properties since I could walk. So I kind of have that interest. But, you know, someone in your background, what gets you interested in real estate?
Well, you know what they say, 9 out of 10 millionaires invest in real estate. They don't say 9 out of 10 millionaires sell cars.
Yeah, isn't that right? I guess that's correct. Funny. So you were talking about a strategy. You said you bought your first house and how you did it. And I think that's really interesting because sometimes here's what happens. People want to get started in real estate and they just look at that upfront nut to get into it. They don't have the credit possibly, and they don't know where to begin. But really, you found an opportunity for yourselves where you didn't have to be this experienced investor. You didn't have to have tons of cash to get started. Why don't you share with them how you did that?
I'll say this. I'll jump to the end of it and then I'll reverse engineer it. I will say this. I bought my first property on paper the worst month of the worst year in the history of the U.S. housing market, June 2008. Within 12 months, that property dropped 45% in value, and I had to put in about $25,000 in work. And using the strategy that I used and using the property management strategies with virtual assistants and just saving the money, I still own that property to this day. It cash flows $600 a month, and it's not a bad purchase whatsoever. So if I could do it in the worst month ever, then odds are you're probably going to do a better job than I did on my first one. So the strategy is called house hacking. I had about $20,000 saved up. I wanted to invest in real estate. And so I used a 10% down loan. I bought a $200,000 house and I rented out 3 of the 4 bedrooms to college buddies when I was 18 years old. So this was 12 years ago. And it was before house hacking was really the buzz term it is today. But that's how I was able to afford the payments. And then eventually I refinanced it, got it fixed up. And for about 5 years of owning it, I rented out 4 different bedrooms after I moved out, all on different leases. So instead of being able to rent the place for, you know, $1,350 or $1,400 a month, I was pulling in $2,000 a month by charging $500 per bedroom. And I was able to cash flow quite a bit. Eventually, that time needed to put into it wasn't really worth it for me. So now I have a Section 8 tenant in there paying me $1,600 a month. And I just have to manage that one lease and then, you know, other properties as well. But for me to get started, it was very important for me to, how can I maximize the highest and best use of the property? And then eventually get it refinanced, get it fixed up, get it stabilized. And then if I wanted to put just one tenant in there, I could do something like that.
You see, that is, I think, is key. It's one of the things that my wife and I have done with our daughter. I didn't know to call it a house hack, but she's in college at University of Arizona. And same principle. I said, listen, here's the house. All right. You've got the bedrooms. You need to fill those rooms. And that property produces positive cash flow after it covers all expenses, mortgage, you name it, of $600 a month by doing that. And it's one of those things, out of necessity, you had to fall into it. But it's looking at your assets and realizing anyone can get into real estate if they're willing to reevaluate how that investment is being made. You know, I was on another podcast this morning with this individual, and we were talking about vacation properties. And I said to him, wow, you must have taken a real hit, you know, with Airbnb. He said, no, you don't understand how I buy. He said, I buy properties that you can use for weddings. And he said, I've made more money right now during this downturn than I have in the last 5 to 6 years of doing this, because everybody's trying to book and secure their space because they're so worried. So again, I'd never thought about that before. So that you bring a unique perspective, or you saw that opportunity. No one taught you how to do it, right?
No, I taught myself through trial and error, and then I listened to a lot of Bigger Pockets over the years.
Ah, so you value education. That's important as well. Mm-hmm. You know, to go out there and learn from other experts. So you started this house hacking, and then where did you go from there?
So then when the property value dropped 45%, it's a Class C neighborhood, you know, a couple neighborhoods over. It's pretty high crime, but it's one of the better areas in Norfolk, Virginia. There's a military base there. There's a college there. There's a hospital nearby. There's a beach nearby. And I remember hanging out in my front yard with my dog and thinking to myself, dang, my Zillow value is like $135,000. Instead of me panicking and just sitting here, why don't I go buy a couple more houses in this neighborhood and I'll just kind of average out my returns. So if I have a total loser of one house, but I make a couple really good buys, I'll kind of average out the whole portfolio. So I started door knocking and using my car sales skills, and I found a couple people that wanted to sell, bought a couple houses for 110, 115, put about 30K into them, was all in for 150, and then eventually the property values went back up. And now all those houses are worth, you know, 2 to 225. I'm cash flowing really nicely. And so I just accumulated a couple single families, same neighborhood, door knock strategy. That's kind of what led me to realizing going direct to seller is the way to get the best deals. So when I moved to San Diego, I just brought those same strategies and same mindset as the agent and now investor.
All right. So San Diego market, as we were talking about, or I was talking about at the beginning of the show, that's a tough market. There's a lot of investors down there that are looking for those deals, and there's high price homes. So how do you get to the seller? Because you're just one of many. You know, everybody talks about using the yellow letters, and they've got these various strategies you hear about on the internet. What's been your secret sauce?
Yeah, man. And I will say, I don't do rentals here in San Diego because they just don't pencil for me. I fix and flip, and I wholesale properties here. And then I do rentals in the markets, back home and Hampton Roads, Virginia, where the base is there. You know, the price to rent ratio is really nice. So I make my cash here and I invest it elsewhere. I just want to be clear about that. So my strategy is a combination of door knocking, cold calling, SMS, so text blasting, and Facebook ads. The yellow letters, when I first started, when I was the agent in 2016 and 17, I used the yellow letters, but eventually they stopped working. And I think it's because a lot of people started using them. But I used to use the handwritten letters and I got some good deals that way. But now I'm more of a volume investor, and I have a team of virtual assistants in Nicaragua and the Philippines that help me qualify the leads. So I'm really only talking to the hot sellers and ready to go sellers. But we send about 15,000 text messages a month. We make probably 30,000 cold calls a month, and I spend a few thousand on Facebook ads a month. And with those strategies, we get some really, really good deals.
Okay. You make it sound so easy. Oh, you just do, 15,000 text messages and there you go.
I'll break it down if you want me to.
Oh yeah. I don't even have 15,000 people. I don't even know if I have 500 people in my cell phone. I don't know how to send out that many text messages. So how do you do that? First off, to find the names, the numbers.
For sure. So there's a few different ways. The first and easiest way is just your title rep. So I have a really good relationship with the title rep here in San Diego. We do a lot of business together. And I got everybody in the county. Let me break it down like this. You can go niche list, which would be like pre-foreclosures, probate, tax lien, HOA lien, anything that would cause some sort of financial distress, divorce, the time frame we're going into right now, Clint, God forbid, but there's going to be a lot of divorce. There's going to be a lot of death. And there's going to be a lot of defaults, the triple D's of real estate. So I'd focus on those three and tax liens as well. Have your title rep make you a list. Now that list, depending on the county, could be, 10,000 people, or here in San Diego, it could be, a couple hundred thousand people. So you also want to focus on filtering that list. Here in San Diego, I don't want to be sending a text blast to a $15 million home in Rancho Santa Fe just because he's got a code violation. I know that I'm never going to be able to fix and flip that property. So what I focus on is 20% below median price point and 20% above median price point. Everything else I don't care about. And I focus on people that have owned at least 4 years, and I focus on properties that are at least 20 years old. So if we unpack that a little bit, you get a list from your title rep with different parameters: death, divorce, default, tax lien, absentee owned, things like that. Houses that are built 1999 and older, owned for 4 years or more, with at least 30% equity, and they'll send you over that list. The next thing you're going to do is you're going to skip trace that property, and you have a skip tracer online. I use IDI. Clint, are you familiar with any skip tracers?
No, I was just going to ask you about that. So you can explain that.
I'll explain it. And then if you'd like, if any of your listeners would like, if they use, I don't know if you're okay with sharing a link that I have.
Yeah, we'll put a link in the show notes. Absolutely.
Where if you are, they can get 100 free records. So each record is a homeowner. Excellent. They can get 100 free. And then if they like the service, they can keep going. So I'll remember to send you that. So skip tracing is essentially, let's say you upload a list of 1,000 homeowners, you'll receive back phone numbers and email addresses associated with that property and that homeowner. Okay. So you got your list from your title rep or from List Source or from PropStream. There's a few ways to get it. Or you could build it yourself, door knocking. Then you skip trace it. So now you have data. You have the contact information. Then you're going to use a cold caller or a text blast system, or you'll upload it into Facebook and run ads with it. You know, we can really deep dive on that. It's probably best your listeners maybe do some education on that themselves. I will say I recommend picking just one strategy for at least 90 days. Don't try to do everything. I would recommend hiring a cold caller first. That way you can kind of manage that person and maybe make some cold calls yourself. That's what I would recommend. And you're cutting out the middlemen. You're cutting out the agents. You're cutting out the wholesalers. You're saving people before they go to auction. You're getting short sales. But you got to have the list. You got to have the data. And then you got to do the prospecting.
Okay. So what you said, if I heard you correctly, number one, is get with a title rep to get this information. So how do you approach someone like that? Because let's say I don't have anybody in my area that I've never dealt with before.
Okay, if you don't have anybody that you've ever dealt with, and some states are different, like some states, there'll be regulations on how much data the title rep is allowed to deliver the investor or the agent or anybody. And agents, if there's agents listening, this can work for you as the agent as well. You can just approach the seller in a different way. So first, you want to reach out to a title rep in the area. I recommend using one of the bigger companies because they have marketing dollars to spend. They have software and systems you use. So, you know, WFG, Tycor, Fidelity, companies like that I've had good success with in the markets. And then I approach them and I say, look, I want to build a relationship with a title rep where I can get 10 to 20,000 homeowners records a month on these different lists, the lists that I just described, the motivated lists. Mm-hmm. And in return of you giving me those lists, I will give you exclusivity to all of my business. So I do, you know, whether it's wholesaling or fix and flipping or whatever, every time I need title, I'll work with you. You'll probably go through a few people that'll say no. Eventually, you'll find somebody that'll say yes. If that doesn't work, your next option is a company like List Source, listsource.com, where you can just buy the list. It's like 3 pennies per record. But that adds up. So I like getting it for free from the title rep. The last option and the best option if you want to invest some money into it is PropStream, propstream.com. It's like $99 a month subscription, but that gets you 10,000 a month. You can set it up to kind of drop them automated into your email inbox. That's what I like to use now along with the title rep.
So you got that list. Now you said you either send out text messages or you do cold calls.
I do all three.
But starting out, yes. If you haven't done this before, you should pick one or the other?
Yeah, I would recommend cold calls. And that way, you're having the conversations and you're building the skills. See, cold calling builds skills, it builds experience, and it finds the deals. Whereas the text blast, you know, that's something... I mean, listen, Clint, I can burn through 300,000 records of text blast in like 3 weeks, man, and then I run out of data. So your listeners, when they're first starting out, odds are they're not going to be like myself that's doing tens of thousands a month now. They're probably going to start out with maybe 500 or 1,000. I mean, you can use a text blasting system and burn through that in an hour, and then they're out of data. So I recommend the cold calling. It's a bit more sustainable, and it builds the skills.
All right. So role play with me. Let's assume that I'm one of those sellers on your list. What would you say to me when you called me up and I answered?
I would say, hi, Clint. My name is Chase. I'm a real estate investor here in San Diego, and I just bought a couple houses in your area. Got one selling now, looking to redeploy the cash. Wondering if you ever thought about selling.
All right. And that gets you a good response? Keeps them on the phone?
No. but it's a volume game. So out of 10, maybe 2 out of 10, good response, keep them on the phone. The other 8 mm-hmm. are going to say, F off, never call me again, wrong number, I'm never selling, I want to be out of here feet first when I die. I mean, we hear everything. So that's why I don't do the cold calling anymore. I pay $6.50 an hour to a VA in Nicaragua. He does the cold calling for me. That way I don't got to deal with that mental, it's tough, man. It's tough.
Yep.
But I did it for a long time.
Well, I mean, I think that if you're going to do anything, you need to do it yourself first so you can train other people on how to do it so you can spot the issue. So you know when the train's going off the track, when that's happening. Because if you haven't done it, you have no way to evaluate it. Do you dial from a block number or do you let people see your number?
We use several different phone numbers and we use what's called proximity matching. So my cold callers are dialing Arizona, San Diego, Riverside, Hampton Roads, Virginia. And we have a bunch of phone numbers for each area. Depending on the area code of the seller's phone number, it proximity matches which outbound number we want to use. I use a software called Zencall, X-E-N-C-A-L-L, Zencall. And, you know, the phone numbers I use for cold calling are different than the ones I use for SMS. They're different than the ones on my website. They're different than the ones that are on my Facebook ads. And so if they mark them as spam, we check it monthly and we just drop that phone number and buy another one. They're like $2 a month.
Wow. So what is the most interesting rejection you've ever had when you've called someone? I'm curious.
The most interesting rejection.
Like physical threat and I'm going to come and, you know.
Oh, man. Oh, that's a good one. So we've texted people, and I want to say this. I use 100% transparency. I love doing business the right way. So we don't spam people excessively. If they say take us off the list, we take them off the list across all platforms. So I want to say you want to do this the right way, and you want to do it compliantly. So if you're doing a text blast, you want to make sure you're using a compliant system so you don't get sued. If you're using cold calling, you want to use compliant systems so you're not getting sued. So I like to do things the right way. Helps me sleep at night. But that being said, you still get some angry people. And I had a guy that we texted, and I think if the number is correct, he called us 2,000 times in 3 days and left, I think, about 500 voicemails saying that he knew where we were, that he was going to come after us and this and that and the third. I mean, super weird stuff. And then I've had weird, crazy cat ladies. The funniest ones are the ones where the people play games with you. And so, you know, over time, I just realized my time was best spent having others, virtual assistants, deal with a lot of that. And so the only thing that comes on my calendar is, you know, hot, motivated, ready to go, people that want to sell in 30 days or less.
Okay, so did you create a script for your VAs?
Yes.
Okay, so you got to create this script. And so if somebody's listening and they're thinking, oh gosh, now I got to create a script. Are there services out there that help in creation of that script? So, you know, how to handle the, you know, objections, no, this, that, and the other?
Yeah, I mean, just Google, you know, real estate wholesale script, real estate cold call script. I mean, you'll find there's a lot of scripts out there. I will say that if you're listening right now and you're thinking, oh, I need the perfect script. I need the perfect script. The script helps, but it's not everything. Volume is everything. So just making more calls, that fixes, sales fixes all problems. Volume fixes all problems. So if you're trying to wait until you find the perfect script, there's another guy that has no script or gal that has no script that's making 100 calls before you make one. And they just got 123 Main Street at 60% of ARV minus rehab while you're still trying to figure out the best script. So I would not focus so much on getting the best tools. I would just focus on it all in motion.
Yeah. People, I think, tend to get caught up in those details because they're uncomfortable getting the train moving down the tracks and, you know, getting out there and getting your hands dirty. Like, well, if I just had that script, this is going to be easier. Nothing's easy about what you do. Right. It becomes easier as you turn it into a system and you systematize it. Like now you've done with the virtual assistant. So going to that virtual assistant level, you threw out there Nicaragua, was it?
Yeah. Nicaragua and Philippines.
Okay. So you've been on the other end of those phone calls before. People call you up and you can tell right away they're from a foreign country. They don't get your name right. And you know, they say, hey, my name's Carlos. You're like, the hell, it's Carlos. Okay. I know that right away. So how do you deal with that? How do you find a good service?
So I fixed that problem. I was using cold callers from the Philippines. We've all answered a call from somebody that sounds like they're from, you know, somewhere in Asia, and they just don't sound like they know what they're doing. And the lady says her name is Jessica, and you're like, no, for sure, your name's not Jessica. So what I did now is the Philippines, they do all my email, chat correspondence, things like that, where they don't need voice. Nicaragua is voice. And the reason why is, I mean, think about how large our Spanish population is here, especially in SoCal and Arizona. A lot of people that sound in some way, shape, or form Hispanic. So it's actually not that alarming. And I use really good bilingual, college-educated Nicaraguans that speak perfect English, even better Spanish. And they actually don't hit those barriers that the Filipino virtual assistants do. So they never really have issues with people thinking that, you know, they're not from around here, because they sound like 25% or whatever the population in America mm-hmm. is that's Hispanic now. So I kind of figured that out and stumbled across it. And it's been working really well.
Wow. You've really broken this system down to find success. So now then when they find someone who's hot, and then they do with you a hot transfer over to you? I mean, how does that take place?
Yeah, so they set appointments. So we use Zencall. I have a CRM where all of our leads go into if it's a hot seller. And the way I've built out the systems, the CRMs is, you know, they fill out a web form. The cold caller fills out a web form that has the owner's information, the address, and the notes from the call. Once they click submit, that goes into my CRM. And then an appointment is set on my calendar or my acquisition guy's calendar to start making those calls. And the transition is really easy. You know, hi, Clint. This is Chase. We're a local real estate investment company. And it sounds like you just talked with my assistant about your property at 123 Main Street. Did I catch you at a good time? And you just kind of take that transition. So the VAs are filtering through all the noise. And then you or somebody local to the market that can meet with the seller is only speaking with people that have raised their hand, yes, I'm interested in selling in the next 90 days.
Are those people that are interested in selling, how often do you find the sellers willing to enter into untraditional styles of contracting, maybe subject to arrangements, lease options, things like that, where it's really no money out of pocket on your end or very little to get the deal secured?
All the time, especially, let me say this, not all the time, but depending on the circumstance, they're very open to it. So if they're facing foreclosure, if they have, you know, liens that need to be paid on the property, I mean, I'm starting to see a lot more of it. I mean, you and I were just talking about one a few days ago. I'm starting to see a lot more of it. And I think we're going to be seeing even more as unemployment stays high and when these balloon payments start coming due on forbearance. So pretty often, and that's a tool on my tool belt that isn't quite established enough yet of the creative strategies. And I'm excited to continue learning more, because I can guarantee you there's probably $100,000 in my CRM right now of deals that I didn't think were a deal, that if I use strategies like that, we could probably make a deal out of them.
What you just shared with everyone on the podcast, I think they should be taking notes. I'm going to go back and re-listen to this podcast again because of the things that you were stating there. And you're running through them pretty quick. But to go back and break that all down is what people need to go out there and get started. Or maybe they've been investing, but they're just not finding the success that they were hoping for. And by having that system in place, hopefully that'll bring them to that next level of investing.
Here's the thing. There's a few ways to get deals. You have wholesalers, but after you buy a couple deals from a wholesaler and they get more experience, they're trying to maximize their assignment fees. So they're selling to the highest bidder. I don't know about you, Clint, but I never got wealthy in real estate by being the highest bidder. I got wealthy in real estate by getting a bunch of deals at a good price. So that's off the table. Agents, you know, they don't get the volume. They might get one or two really good deals a year, but they don't get the volume. So at some point, you got to kind of cut out the middleman. And I would recommend every established investor or new investor to at least add a direct-to-seller marketing leg to their business and just watch it grow and focus on it over time. It's like putting money in the bank and investing in it. And then once you start getting it built, you're going to make that back tenfold. here in San Diego, people are flipping properties at 8% margins, and my deals are 15 to 20% margins because I'm cutting out the middleman.
Yeah. I mean, what you just said about their real estate agent, a lot of people are taught that you go, you develop a relationship with a realtor, and that realtor will work for you and find you the deals. They're not finding you the type of deals you're talking about. They're finding the deals that are just got on the MLS. And so you're competing with other individuals and they're getting paid out of it. So I think that the direct to the seller market, cut out the middleman, it definitely is a way to make more money. You just have to put the systems, because it sounds to me, everything you've laid out for us is system driven, having the CRM in place, having the VAs in place, the scripts in place, the text blasts and all of that go hand in hand. So with the texting, is there a certain program you recommend there? Or did you, or was that the Ivor one or whatever that was?
Tracing is IDI.
IDI, yeah.
Interactive data. And that's to get the contact information. So we'll put that in the show notes. Like you said, I'll have that link sent to you so you can get the 100 free SkipTrace records. So for text blasting, you know, there's a lot of systems. I like a system called ROAR, R-O-O-R. It's nice, man. For all of these, it's not a secret. There's a lot of people doing text blasts, a lot of people doing cold calling. You know, find the system that works best for you. But consistency over time is and volume is really the key. But for text blasting, I like ROAR. And then the other thing that we do is Facebook ads. And that's kind of my specialty, is the Facebook ads. And with the cold calling and the texting, you're going to get a lot of people that would sell for the right price. You know, they're just kind of seeing what a cash offer would be. For the Facebook ads, you're getting people inquiring to you. And so it's more of an inbound lead, and it's a little bit more expensive cost per lead, but it's a better quality lead because they're actually reaching out to you.
Yeah, but you brought this up at the very beginning. What's going on right now? I think there's a lot of people sitting out there. They're worried about their jobs, or maybe they don't know if it's going to be there when they open things back up. So they're motivated. And reaching out to them is probably a great way to start a conversation right now and find those deals. Where do you see yourself going in the next, 2 to 3 years if you're investing? You can stay in San Diego or go somewhere else?
So I wish I bought more rentals in that 2013 to 2016 time period. I think we all do. Ever since about 2018, I've just felt like I've been kind of priced out. So I really haven't, accumulated that many. I got a couple offers out. I'm starting to see the market change a little bit, and I kind of want a dollar cost average a little bit. But I love fix and flipping. I don't love the wholesaling part. So where I see myself 2 to 3 years from now is still doing fix and flips and, teaching a lot of this stuff, doing less wholesaling and more flipping, and probably not in San Diego. I think my girlfriend and I, probably get engaged, married, and going to move to the Seattle area. And a big goal of mine over the next couple of years is continuing to learn the commercial game and really accumulating some buildings and things like that, because I know you have a large portfolio with the single families. For me, I'm just very intrigued by the commercial asset class, and so that's kind of my next feather in the cap, is to get something like that.
Yeah, that's interesting, because I've talked to many guests on podcasts that I've been on over the last month and a half, and it always comes up the commercial. Where's that going? Because a lot of people are working from home now. They're seeing this new way of conducting business via Skype, not Skype, or Zoom. And we've seen in our own business that we were worried about productivity. And we found that for a lot of our employees was not an issue. In fact, the productivity went up. And then we asked about satisfaction. We found that many people far exceeded our expectations, 70% highly satisfied working from home. And it takes a certain personality. I could never do it, but how does that affect commercial space going, in the next 5, 10, 15 years? Because we don't need as much space as we currently have if we go to that model.
So for me, I'm not interested in retail or office at all. I like storage, self-storage, mobile home parks, and Class B and Class C apartment buildings. So that's going to be my focus. I'm not going to touch office. I'm scared as crap of office space, sorry. And with retail, I don't like retail either. I could see maybe medical and mixed use being a fit, but it's just not my niche. I like the self-storage. I like the mobile home parks, and I like the apartment buildings. And I bring a lot of guests on my show that are experts in those areas so I can learn from them. And I've just been studying and studying and studying.
What's the name of your podcast?
Life Worth Chasing podcast. So we talk real estate, investing, wealth building, high level business strategies. I love the entrepreneurial game, but what I love even more is living a lifestyle that is supported by it, that you can have fun and enjoy yourself. And so I bring on guests that we talk about that. We talk a lot about investing as well.
And it's really entertaining. So guys, we'll have a link to his podcast as well in the show notes. You know, we're coming to an end here. Is there anything you'd like to leave with the listeners?
Yeah, I think that if you want to add that direct-to-seller marketing channel, pick one. Don't get overwhelmed. Don't try to perfect it, and just optimize it over time and take the leap. And you're going to get some good deals doing it, and just make sure that you stick with it and you stay consistent with it. And I hope, you know, what I shared on the show, I hope it helps at least one person get a really good deal.
Great. Chase, thanks for coming on, guys. Check those links out in the show notes. Get out there, get investing, and we wish you all the very best going forwards. Take care. Bye-bye, Chase.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. Show notes for links to everything mentioned in this episode can be found on our website at andersonadvisors.com/podcast. Be sure you subscribe to our podcast. And if you are already a subscriber, please provide us a review of what you thought of this episode.